I focus on the individuals within my team. And my goal is if I can get every individual in my team to progressively take that next step and develop as a person, and we use that experience collectively, we'll be in a great place as a team. So what I'm constantly doing is helping my team focus on what we're doing well, what we're not doing so well, but we can learn from the other persons in our team, and collectively, we move each other forward.
Welcome to Latinx in Power, a podcast hosted by Thaisa Fernandes.
Welcome to Latinx in Power. Today, we are talking with Devon London. Devon is an accomplished business sales professional with a proven track record of success in the telecommunications industry. With his vast experience, he has developed an in-depth understanding of the industry and has consistently delivered outstanding results. I'm so excited with this conversation. Welcome, Devon.
Hi, Thaisa. Thank you for having me. It's an honor. Honestly, I'm so proud of what I've done personally. I never thought that I'd be invited to a podcast to talk about my career. Honored to be here. And I hope the podcast is as entertaining for your viewers as this experience will be for me.
It's so cool because I talked with a lot of people already, and a lot of them, they messaged me and they were like, oh, the podcast made me reflect about my life and my career. I never did this exercise, and it was very important to me to see my career in a different way. And I thought it was very interesting. And yeah, I love that.
You're shining light on something that people usually take for granted. Me, I'm kind of very deliberate in things that I do. So I chose my career path in sales. I've always had an affinity for technology as well. So it just seemed natural. And I love what I do. So it's more deliberate for me. I understand why I am where I am because I've put in the work to be here. But even me, sometimes you get caught up in everything that you don't stop to smell the flowers and enjoy where you are and enjoy your journey. So the fact that you're highlighting that for people, I can only imagine how amazing it's making them feel. So on behalf of them and myself, I thank you for having me and for having them as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So in this episode, we will discuss Devon's journey, starting from his early days as a business sales executive and eventually transitioning to business sales manager. We will share valuable insights and advice for aspiring managers as well. So I think this is something that we have been exploring in this past episodes, Latinx leadership and tips about like how can I become a manager or management style. So I'm very excited to talk more about that. So the first thing I want to ask you, do you consider yourself a Latino? And if yes, what does it mean to be a Latino for you?
I'll be honest with you. Before you invited me to the podcast, I didn't. I'm from Guyana. And yes, we are part of South America. But there's just this misconception that Latinos are Spanish-speaking people from Spanish-speaking origin. And until you invited me to the podcast, and I was like, this seems interesting. There might be something here that I'm not aware of. Let me check. And then I started to do some research and then I realized, so I am. And then I started to reflect on some of my time traveling. And so I've visited a few countries in South America. I visited Suriname. I visited Brazil. I visited some countries in the Caribbean as well. Been to Trinidad, Curacao, a few other islands as well. Then I just, kind of thought back on my time at these visits. And even, for example, in Curacao, where English isn't the main language, you could feel connected to people. You can draw similarities into what your daily lives are, what your environment is like, what your culture is. So now, I do consider myself Latinx, and I would encourage more people to. For me, it's important that we all try and find the similarities that we have with one another rather than focus on what divides us. So I proudly consider myself Latinx now.
Oh, that's such a cool story. And I can definitely relate to you. I started to consider myself as Latina only after I moved to the US. I think same thing with you. Since my first language is Portuguese, not Spanish, I always felt a disconnect. But I think when you remove the language from this, you can see a lot of similarities. Like, I think our culture, especially the food, the music, and the way we interact with families, this closeness, I think we are very, very similar. We were joking in a previous episode that we talk with our moms every day. And, you know, the sense of like closeness, if you spend one day without messaging them, they are probably going to think you died or something happened and then they get all worried, you know?
Yeah, it's wild. I've developed something in my time in sales where I don't miss calls. So even if I'm busy and someone calls me, I usually send them a message to let them know that, hey, I'm busy, get you back later. So when people call me and don't get me, they lose their minds. Especially my mom. She's going to ring me and keep ringing me until she probably sees that message and it's wild. So yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Absolutely. That's incredible. And can you tell us, how was your journey, your career, like how everything started?
Well, take you back from the beginning. I was a journeyman kind of at the beginning of my working career. I left school, started to study, but I quickly realized that I needed to work and study as well. So actually, my first job was at the bank. And quickly from there, I realized that there's this idea, there's a general idea in the workplace that we all earn similar amounts of money if you're in the same position. But do we really all do the same amount of work? I'm the kind of person who likes to take on extra responsibility because it helps you to grow, right? And your goal is to grow as a person. I have been kind of deliberate in that. And I try to grow every day, see a goal for myself at the end of the year and get to where I want to be. And I quickly realized at the bank that I didn't believe that that was a fair exchange. And then I thought about what can be a fair exchange? What can I do that directly compensates me for the amount of work that I want to put in, that I will put in no matter how I feel, right? And then I realized, you know what? I should probably be in sales. It didn't happen right away. I ended up applying for a job at a company called Digicel. And I applied there because while I was working at the bank, one of their sales executives actually came over to us to kind of sell us on phone plans. And I thought this was so cool. Here I am sitting in an office all day. I don't know what's going on and how the world is moving around me. And this guy is out every day meeting new people. And I thought it was amazing. So I applied. And that was during my first year at the bank. I worked at the bank for 3 years. Before I actually left, I didn't even get the job. I decided to leave and check something else. So I actually got a job in sales with a small hardware company in Guyana. I still wanted to be part of tech. I wanted to work with Digicel at that point in time. So I kept applying and eventually they called me. And when they called, it was for customer service. It wasn't what I wanted. I was in the call center, but it was what I needed. It helped me build a strong sense of providing the best possible service to our customers, which has really helped me in my professional career, in my career as a business sales executive and as a manager, because everything that I do now is built on ensuring that the customer has the best experience. And that all started from my time in customer service. All right. So I spent about 8.5 years at Digicel. The first 9 months I was in customer service and then I got up to sales. Fun story is you usually have to do training. So on my first day of training at Digicel, they asked me, where do I see myself? I told them in a year, I'm going to be in business sales. At that point in time, no one wanted to be in business sales because you had to go through parts of the call center that people didn't like. It was a very demanding part of the call center, but I was all for it because I know where I wanted to be. I told my trainer that I'm working here for a year. If in 1 year exactly I'm not in business sales, I'm going to resign and move on to something else. In 9 months, I got the job to go up to business sales. It worked out. And then I spent 7.5 years in business sales. For about 5.5 of those years, I was a business sales executive. So I was tasked in providing ICT solutions to the business community in Guyana. All right. And to be honest, it's something now that it's amazing because you get to now speak with CEOs, successful business people, people in government, even small business people as well, who just have such grand visions for their business that it kind of helps you develop as a person. I've had conversations with people I never thought I would have had. I built friendships in the industry that I never thought I would have had. And it was amazing for me at that young age to be able to do that. So then I got the opportunity to become a manager. And that was the most frightening part of my career so far. Because I was going from working with my colleagues and friends, I built friendships with these people, to now having to manage them. right? And let me tell you, for anyone that's listening here, if it's your first time in management, you will have imposter syndrome. I've listened to leaders all over this world. I've read books. I've listened to podcasts. They all talk about it. At the beginning, you have imposter syndrome. You feel like you're not supposed to be there, especially if you were part of that team before, all right? But you need to have a foundation. You need to quickly identify what are your core values and stick to those. And it won't be easy, but it will lead you through those tough times and those days where you're doubting yourself. I always believe as long as you're doing things with the best of intentions, you sleep well at night. Right?
Just like coming back to one thing that you said that I think it's very powerful. You knew where you wanted to be, and also you accepted a job that it wasn't exactly what you wanted, but you knew that this experience was going to help you get where you wanted. So I think this is very powerful because you need to be very strategic, you know, like, okay, I'm going to learn all the skills I need in order to achieve where I want to be. But for now, I want to be in this stage. This is important. And I think it's sometimes for some people, this might not come naturally. So I'm curious, do you think this is something that comes naturally for you to be very strategic? It seems that you always have the sense, oh, I want to do this and I'm going forward with this. So how was your process of like understanding where you wanted to be or what you wanted to do?
No, it didn't come naturally to me. When I talk to people I went to school with, where I am now, outside of my core group of friends who I've been with like every day, they kind of don't recognize me. I'll be honest, every part of my journey has been necessary. Every part of it I didn't thoroughly enjoy, but every part of it has helped me become the person I am today. When I was working at the bank, that's where I kind of got this drive about being deliberate. Because what I realized is that those 3 years I spent at the bank flew by so fast. And within the first year, I knew this is not what I wanted to do. But of course, I had a job, right? And I had responsibilities. And you need to make some sacrifices there. But then I realized that, okay, so whether or not I'm happy, whether or not I'm working towards a goal, the time will keep passing. And I would implore everyone to focus on that. Whether or not you're deliberate in what your actions are, the time keeps passing. It's our most important resource. So I want to ask persons to, I usually implore my team as well to focus on that. Every day, you're not going to want to pick up the phone and make those cold calls. You're not going to want to follow up with customers on these proposals that you have out. But the time is passing and you have a goal that you want to achieve. So focus on the micro. Make that first call, make that second call, make that third call. It's going to become a habit and it's going to help you get to your goal. And you're going to love it in the long term. But in the short term, you can't look at the bigger picture. You just have to focus on, yeah, the time is going to pass. What can I do today to get me where I need to be tomorrow? And you just keep chipping away. And for me, that's it. It's just a product of being in a situation that I didn't like and wanted to change. And it helped me to build an attitude and a drive that really helps me get to the next level constantly now.
Whoa, that's incredible. How was your process transition to management? How was that for you? It was part of your goal, like, I want to be a manager, I want to manage people, or it was something that just happened and you enjoyed?
Kind of just happened, but I must say that I owe it all to my previous head of department. When I got the job in business sales, there's a manager above me, and I eventually transitioned into that position. But the person who ran our department, she's a mentor to me. She's kind of like a mom to me. We have a very, very great relationship. And she's kind of like hard-nosed, very, let's get the job done. But then as well, she's very soft. I don't know if I can say this being my position, but women don't have it easy in business. And as a man, I recognize that because there are certain values that men can exhibit that kind of gives off the vibe that we are strong, that if women exhibit, it's taken entirely differently. Getting to work with her so closely, I kind of got a real firsthand understanding of what those challenges are and then to see how she kind of worked through those. So I kind of was in awe of her professionally. And then getting to know her personally as well, it really kind of drove me to want to take that next step. But there's one thing that she said to me very early in my career that always stuck with me. And that's what drove me to want to become a manager and want to be the best version of myself and keep challenging myself. So I was working in sales. Again, I had a manager above me, but she used to still meet with our team members, get to know everyone and what they're doing. And she told me that. She asked me what I wanted to do. And she asked me in such a way that I felt no apprehension in telling her that in a few years I wanted her a job.
Wow.
And she told me that that's great. And it was not what I expected, but she told me that that's great because she would be a failure as a manager if she didn't develop somebody within her team that will eventually take her place. I didn't eventually take her place. I eventually moved on before I could, but now I'm in a similar role at a new company. And but just her embracing that and letting me know that really that is the goal. And that's when it clicked. I can have so much experience, so much knowledge. I can't do what I'm doing forever. I want to evolve and do more. But to be able to impart that knowledge on other people and help them to be successful and give them the opportunities that I would have had, that's the goal, to teach, to manage people, to help people get to that next step. So since then, my life is kind of just focused on helping people develop.
Incredible. Oh my God, I'm so inspired. That's amazing. And how did you develop your management style? How was this for you?
For me, I love sports. During my time when I first started management and I had no idea what I was doing, I was just trying to be the best version of myself and kind of please everyone, which if you know, doesn't work. You can't please everyone. And as a manager, you're walking a very thin line between ensuring that you can do what's beneficial for the company, but most of all, what's beneficial for your people. Because if they're happy, usually everybody else is happy, all right? But there are lines that we need to draw. I love sports, like I said, basketball, football, or what you call soccer in the US. So I have spent a lot of time just following athletes and following what their journeys are, and also following managers for teams like the great Sir Alex Ferguson, who was the manager for my favorite team, Manchester United, for all those years, and getting to see the level of detail he put into managing players and different personalities and superstars and getting them to fall in line. That's where it clicked for me. I started reading books about his journey. I started reading books from Kobe Bryant and Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan and their journeys and how persons manage them. And for me now, I take more of a man management approach. I focus on the individuals within my team. And my goal is if I can get every individual in my team to progressively take that next step and develop as a person, and we use that experience collectively, we'll be in a great place as a team. So what I'm constantly doing is helping my team focus on what we're doing well, what we're not doing so well, but we can learn from the other persons in our team. And collectively, we move each other forward and we help each other develop and get to our goals.
That's a really good point, to focus on what they are doing well and also what they need to improve. And I think maybe the natural tendency is just to focus on what people need to improve and kind of like forgetting what they are already doing that is like exceeding the expectations or like helping to move the needle. That's a really good strategy.
Oh, thank you. It took me a while to get there, but I figured out that was the best place because we all have different things. So me, when I'm hiring somebody, I don't really look for their experience. I have my core values. There are certain things that I look for. You need to have a drive in sales. You need to have a strong moral compass, and you need to be the kind of person who holds themselves accountable. And if you are, and if I can sense that, and I usually ask questions that help me to identify whether you are or not, it's hit and miss. I can say that over time, I'm hitting more than I'm missing. But if you can identify those persons, then I can give them the other skills that they need. I can teach them about their products. I can teach them what the roadmap is for certain conversations that they need to have. But what I can teach is desire. I can't teach them what makes you get up in the morning and have a positive outlook on the rest of your day and to come to work and put in the little work. when you're in the trenches, it's desire that gets you through that day. When you have to dig deep and do the grimy things that no one wants to do, it's your desire that gets you through that day. So those are my core values, and that's what I look for. Since I've started to do that, being able to manage people has gotten easier for me because I have persons with those core values. So we kind of see eye to eye. We're still different individuals. So then I lean on that individuality so that we know together, including myself, we can continuously grow because they teach me as much as I teach them. And it's just a wonderful experience learning every day and helping to impart some of my knowledge on people and ensuring that they can be successful. When I'm calculating that commission at the end of the month and they're getting paid amounts of money that they didn't think was possible before they got the job that I promised them they'd be able to make, I get so much satisfaction from it because I'm helping them change their lives. Because of that, they can change the lives of their loved ones as well. And after that, and they probably move on to something else because they've hit the peak on where they wanted to be and achieve whatever goals, I get to now start over that entire process again and give that opportunity to another young person who didn't think they would have it. So it's amazing.
That's incredible. I'm loving this conversation, and this is a really, really good advice. And talking about advice, which advice would you give to someone who is starting their career in sales?
I alluded to it earlier, but for me, it's not worrying about the larger goal. So when you get into sales, there are great persons in sales like Rand Cardone, and he teaches you about the 10X rule. If you really just listen to that message once, you don't get the gist of it. But what you need to do is everyone will teach you that you need to focus on the small thing. You can't worry about the larger goal. So when you get in sales, you're going to be given a target here. This is what I want you to achieve within a month or within a quarter. And if you sit as somebody new in sales and you focus on that large and you just look at that large number, right, or that large sales target, it will seem impossible to me. And then when you have a bad day and you have a little setback, it will feel impossible. That weight will be on you, and that little weight will affect all of your decisions that you're going to make on the days ahead to get there. And it's going to put so much pressure on you, it's going to make it impossible for you to get to that target. So what I encourage my team to do is here, I give them their targets for the year, all right? I let them know. But then we have weekly meetings where we sit down and focus on what we're doing this week. And then I get them to ask themselves the questions. What are you doing today to ensure that you make your target, all right? And that's where you need to focus your energies, not on how I'm going to make my entire target for the month, but what do I need to do right now? What do I need to do today? What do I need to do this hour in order to get me to that goal? And I guarantee you, if you focus on that, you'll have a lot more successes than failures because you're able to pivot quickly if you're the kind of person who's adaptable. Like I said, one of the values that I look for is I look for persons who hold themselves accountable because you can then have an honest conversation with yourself and sit at the end of the day and say, did I do as much today as I needed to do to be successful? And you'll realize sometimes that you didn't. If you're truly holding yourself accountable, it's hard. You might not make up for that day the next day. But at some point in time, you're going to realize, hey, I'm just digging a deeper hole for myself. Let me get down. Let me do the work. Let me get the work here. So let me sit here today and let me make all of these calls that I didn't want to make. Let me go and visit all of these customers that I didn't want to visit. Let me just reach out to strangers and have conversations with them. It's something that I hate. It's something that I probably hate doing, but it's something that's necessary for my job. It's wild to me, I realized this a little while ago, that, you know, the number one fear in the world is public speaking, not death.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And it means that if there's a funeral, persons would prefer to be in the casket than to be given the eulogy. And that is crazy, right? So I always find persons who don't want to, and I was like that as well. I don't want to be talking to strangers, but it's just a conversation. This is the first time we're actually having a conversation. I think it's going well, but it's just a conversation. And all I'm doing is focusing on the one answering the first question that you answer me. And then we move on from there. And then you realize it's natural. We naturally want to talk to people and have experiences. And you just need to focus on those smaller things. So summarize it. If you're clipping this and you want to add it to YouTube, that this is part of the message. You need to focus on the small thing. You have your larger target. Keep asking yourself why. Why are you doing what you're doing? And you'll get to the root cause of what you're doing. And you focus on that small thing and it will help you be successful.
Yes, to that. This is an amazing strategy. I think it's important to have goals. You might have like monthly goals, annual, quarterly goals, but sometimes it is so far away. And I understand for some people, it might be tricky to even understand what they need to do every day in order to achieve their goals. So if you break this goal in like smaller tasks and like daily things you need to do, it's much more tangible. And that's incredible. I'm really enjoying this conversation. You started to talk a little bit more about it, but I wanted to ask you more questions. And so I have been enjoying to talk with Latinx leaders and trying to dive a little bit deeper into what they do and which advice they have. So I'm curious, for aspiring managers, what they should focus to become successful in their roles, in your opinion? If there's like maybe one thing or two things they should focus, what would you say?
Lean into your individuality. And the second thing is learn. Well, from where I am, I don't think the school system does the best job of imparting a love for learning in persons. Like, it's such a grind that at the end of it, you want to just step away from it. But every day you're learning that. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to learn and grow, right? But you need to, for me, what I did is I got the information, I read, I followed some great, who I thought were great leaders. And then I tried to duplicate that. And then I realized quickly that that wouldn't work for me. So the scenarios aren't one for one. And then I leaned into my individuality, because you're more yourself, that inner voice usually tells you what is right. And usually you get a sense of what's working from being able to feel the room and being in the room. So if you take the lessons you learn from the persons who've done it successfully before, and then you kind of add that to you as an individual, right? So you digest it, and then you focus on what your circumstances, what your sales environment is, what your management, what your culture is in your business, what's the makeup of your team. You can then use that knowledge and help you to develop strategies to focus specifically on that team. And that will help you to be successful. You need to understand that you've done a lot so far. You've done a lot of things right so far to get you to where you are. Don't necessarily lean away from it. Lean into it, all right? But at the same time, know that there's still room for growth. And if you do those two things, you'll be kind of paying homage to the great people that came before you and helping to take on their great messages, but you'll also be adding to that as well and helping to move forward your great messages as well and what have made you successful. And you'll be able to get a lot of success from that. At least it's worked well for me. So that's what I would encourage persons to do.
Incredible. And in this podcast, we're all about sharing stories, journeys. And I'm curious to hear from you, which resource helped you in your journey that you want to talk about and share with us?
It's been reading for me. There are a lot of books that I have read, but I have to say, it's my love for sports. My love for sports has been one of the biggest drivers ensuring my success as a manager, because I have such a love for sports that I dive so much into the individuals in sports, like the great sports people and the persons that would have impacted them, that I didn't even know what I was doing until I needed to use that information. I was just gathering it and learning about these people because it was fun for me. So if I was to say that there's a resource, I don't want to just recommend a book. I want people to do what comes what's enjoyable for them. And learning has to be part of that. So whether it's for you listening to podcasts, that's learning as well. You're gaining new experiences, whether it's reading, whether it's digital, hardcover, or whether it's just having conversations with new people every day. I encourage you to do more of it. For me, it was my love of sports and reading. So I would have read the autobiography of Sir Alex Ferguson and his time as the Manchester United manager and all of that income. And that book might not speak to everyone. So I don't want to tell people or anyone that's listening that they need to go and read that book specifically, but focus on who you think is a great leader in your life. And if it's someone that doesn't have a book that you can have a conversation with, then have a conversation with them. Ask them what were their challenges. Ask them what they did to help them get to that place. And it'll help you. Like you said at the beginning, and we kind of alluded to, in Latinx, because of where we are, and for me speaking English, you speaking Portuguese, we didn't identify. Whether we want to believe it or not, we have so much similarities with so many persons. Just get out there, have conversations with people, read about their lives. You realize there are things that you can take from there that can help you grow.
Awesome. Love that. Devon, I'm really enjoying this conversation. Thank you so much for your time. We are getting to the end of this episode, so I'm going to leave the last minutes for you to share anything you want to share and also where people can find you. We are going to include in the description of your episode where people can find you.
All right, great. So for now, I want to thank you for the opportunity to have this conversation. It's been lovely and hope that a lot of people get to see this and they're inspired by it as well and the other work that you're doing. But for now, I just want to say that my journey is still ongoing. Right now, I'm at eNet in Guyana and we're doing great things. We're actually focusing on rolling out mobile, which we'll be launching tomorrow. So we'll be launching the first 5G mobile network in Guyana tomorrow. All right, so the first of its kind. And so it's exciting times here. So I'm in that trying to evolve the business community in Guyana through technology and through the services that we have to offer. So people can get me here. They can get me via email if they need me at devonl@enetworks.gy. All right, on my social media, I can share that with you and you can share that as well, Taisa, so people can reach out to me if they have any questions or so. I'll be pleased to answer any of them.
Incredible. Thank you so much. And congratulations on your launch tomorrow.
Thank you. And thank you for having me.